listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Modest, I be in interviews. Some niggas hating cause I play it like I know, had no clue that I'm the greatest. Tory, come sit up on this dick. I see you wait and need a baby cause I'm too young and wild to be the savior. Nail me to the cross and I'm just hanging. Least they left me serpent in my fingers. I'm just smoking. Players from my city rarely make it to a poster. Unless you got a warrant, what you got in the Corolla? Oh, officer, just Boosie Boo and DJ Yola. Won't let them haters get me down. That's what they told us. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Aaron.
And we are in the house on a Sunday. Walking Dead Sunday.
Yes.
I think there's actually a Democratic debate tonight about Flint, Michigan. So that I might have to DVR that one. See which one of these white people gonna be more scared to talk about black stuff.
Should be interesting. Already know the answer to that. I know that everybody's out here, their children is being sick and people are dying because of the water. But if you niggas had jobs, you wouldn't have this problem. Fuck you.
That's why they're both people's alley though, because he can make an argument about the economic effects of not having a community that. That is being victimized by big government and the rich, and you know she'll be able to come in there and be like, but I'll look you black people in the eyes when I say that lie, and it'll be different, you know. So we'll see what happens tonight. I'm kind of excited.
We will see.
See if that reparations question come up.
We will see. I hope so.
Well, if you gonna lie to me, lie to my face.
Right. Are y'all gonna force them to, y'all gonna hold people accountable? It's gonna be questions. Are y'all gonna make them dig up these fucking lead pipes that are killing our children? Is that what you gonna do? Well, then what are we talking about here?
I just want them to make eye contact with the lies. That's all. I have a very low bar. This is the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips. We're also on all the other podcast apps as well. All you gotta do is look us up and we'll be there. We love 5-star reviews. Like, they are the soul, you know, they're the wind beneath our wings, you know. So we hope that you guys will look us up. You know, give us a 5-star review because we could use those. So and if you do that, in addition to our ever loved lasting undying love, we actually read those on the show on Saturday when we do our feedback show. So, you know, don't you want to get your feedback read?
I would hope so.
You know, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by triple sponsors. The first one is Shadow Dog Productions. Shadow Dog Productions is giving you a chance to watch their movie for free.
Free dog.
Free 99. The low low. Next Saturday at 8 p.m. join me and Karen and the Shadow Dog peeps as we watch and live tweet the movie Art of Confession. All you got to do is check the TBGWT premium site for a secret link to watch the movie online and tweet along with us. There will even be prizes for using our movie hashtag to mark. So mark it on your calendar and get more details Wednesday. That's what we like to call in the business a little bit of a teaser.
Just a teeny bit.
Now, also, this is a very special promotion too, man. I mean, I feel like 'tis the season, apparently. Black History Year is going well.
Yeah, Black History Year.
Melanin marches upon us, and it seems that people are willing to give away stuff. That's right, Craig from the Facebook group. Pay attention this time and don't miss out. It's the season for giving, and Bevel wants to give you some free shit. They want to offer you a special deal to try out the Bevel shaving system and get your first month free. Yes,
oh,
free.
Shit.
Yes. Now look, free within whatever parameters they have. I'm not mailing anything to your house personally. Mm-mm. I'm not driving down your driveway and opening up the door and putting it inside and then like washing your face like a barber and putting you in a chair with a towel around your neck. I'm not doing all that shit. But you can get this shit free if you just have some motivation on your own. So all you got to do is use code TBGWT free and you can get it. But the key to all this is it's only good for the first 200 people.
That's it.
Now, we may not get 200 five-star reviews every week.
No.
But we do have way more than 200 listeners.
Yes, we do.
So I would say don't sleep on it, man. And if Craig is behind a few weeks on the podcast, then, you know, he just missed out. He just missed out. But look, man, make sure you do it. It's also for new customers and new memberships only. So if you already own Bevel, make sure you put it in your child's name, okay?
Oh, no.
Make sure you, look, man, look. Mm-mm. I get the hustle, okay, fellas? Mm-mm. Do what you got to do. Ladies, you been wanting to try it? You been like, well, can I shave my cho-cho with it? Hey, no better time than the present to find out for absolutely free. Use the code TBGWT. Free.
And I've talked to him across online and on Twitter, and other women said they use it and they said they love the product.
Mm-hmm.
on their Hot Pockets.
Also, speaking of Hot Pockets, we got the last sponsor. That's right, Adam and Eve. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? Would you like to get more? Well, Adam and Eve would love to give you more with 10 free gifts. First of all, they give you a sexy little surprise for her. Secondly, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something you both can enjoy. Plus, you get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. Number 10, you get free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get the 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Go to adamandeve.com. Select any one item. Could be a adventurous new toy, sex piece of lingerie, anything you desire. Just enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and you'll get 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item, get 10 free gifts, including free shipping on your, when you enter offer code upon offer code TBGWT upon checkout. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. That group. It's Marley in the Mix for everybody that's gonna ask later, and it's M-A-R-L-E-E in the Mix with two X's, and 10,000 Hours is on Spotify, man. Shit is dope. All right, we got all kinds of news to talk about. So much of this news is just like race related, so we might as well just get in and talk about it. It's just one of those 100 type of days, guys.
Everybody got it already.
There's almost no story I can click on where it won't be about some racism. David Allen Greer tweeted that he's going to be the new face of KFC for the KFC Colonel Sanders commercials. He was going to be Colonel Sanders, but then he said it was just a joke. So it broke everybody's, everybody went crazy, said it was a horrible idea. And then he said it was just a joke and pulled it back. But I, for one, would have loved to see Black Colonel Sanders.
Me too. It'd have been hilarious.
I would have been okay with it. I actually like what they're doing with the KFC commercials where they keep switching the new actors as Colonel Sanders, but Black Colonel Sanders would have took the cake. And if that would have been the punchline to all this shit, I would have started eating KFC like once every 3 years.
I'd have been here for it.
I would have went and got a McDouble. Or what is it? A double down? I would have got a double down.
Ah!
Just for the cause, for the culture. Mm-hmm. But since it's not gonna be that, I'm out. But that would have been hilarious. Let's see what else is happening. We already talked about his ass. This came out. Someone sent this to me. like, you know how people always talk about Hillary Clinton and that super predator comment that she made in a speech about black youth trying to endorse, she was endorsing the 1994 crime bill, even though she couldn't physically vote to pass it, she was definitely on board with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie Sanders actually did physically vote to pass it. You know, he gave a speech about how he was, you know, holding his nose, but end of the day, pulled the lever, right?
Well, right.
Apparently, Bernie Sanders, as recent as, what was this, 2006, 2007, I guess, was given a speech about being tough on crime and like praising his vote in that crime bill. Like he boasted about being tough on crime after that shit. So it's like, anyway, not even to get all into it, but it's like the reclaiming and reframing of who he is in history and shit is just gotten so out of control, because nobody was thinking he's a civil rights leader.
Mm-mm.
Until they tried to pitch him as one. And then when people reject this notion that he's some type of racial civil rights leader, you know, or at least has maintained that for 50 years, motherfuckers get mad at people for noticing. You know, it's ridiculous. I was on Twitter the other day, and there was a segment basically where they played this clip, and Killer Mike was giving a speech with about the ladies who confronted Bernie Sanders in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Which anyone who listened to that show or just listened to this show at that time, if you were listening, we did a detailed breakdown of it. Like if you listen to Twib at that time, Marissa, one of the ladies who got up there, she actually called in and talked about how the crowd reacted and the experience and everything. And we get to 2016, and Killer Mike is saying shit like this.
When you have an opportunity to tell two black girls to shut up and get off stage and you don't, and you shake their hand and you smile and you step to the side and you listen, that is a firm difference from turning.
Now, keep in mind, Bernie Sanders did not shake their hand, like either one of them. He reached out like he was gonna shake Marissa's hand, but Marissa did not accept that handshake and moved her hand away. But the video, they try to slice it in like, see, look, they shook hands.
Shake their hand and you smile and you step to the side and you listen. That is a firm difference from turning around and staring at a little black girl and saying, shut up.
Now, when he says turn around and turn into a little black girl says shut up, he's saying Hillary did that when she was confronted by the Black Lives Matter protester at that $500 dinner. To which I do believe she said something about be quiet, and I do believe she said she would answer that later or something, and she didn't, and that she had never been asked that before. But the point being, Mike's embellishing a bit on both parts, right? Like Bernie just politely said, oh, Black Lives Matter is here. All right, guys, that's my time for the day. You ladies take the stage. No, that's not how it went down. And Hillary Clinton didn't turn around and be like, bitch, I kill you. Like it wasn't neither one of them, I think, yielded the floor or their time to let these ladies speak.
Well, it's saying, shut up. I'll talk to you later. You're being rude or allowing people to say that to her. I'm going to tell you the proof is in the pudding.
Now, it's amazing that he would say you're being rude or allow that to be said to her, because obviously Hillary didn't say she was being rude, but people say you're being rude to the lady who protested at the dinner. The shit that was said to Marissa and the other lady at the Seattle rally, that wasn't a bunch of like, oh, yay, hey, you know, we understand. It was a lot of tase them, arrest them.
They got threatened.
Yeah. Like they would have, like they said, if it hadn't been a circle of people that surrounded them to kind of protect them, it might have gotten physical out there.
Right.
But the narrative reshaping is so amazing and it happens so quick. This isn't some 50 years ago thing. This just happened. People saw it. News reports were about it. People were saying how Black Lives Matter is rude and how, you know, they shouldn't be doing this and these protests don't help anyone. You're attacking your enemies and, you know, why didn't they get arrested and all this shit, harassing these women. Now, fast forward, and Bernie's letting little Black girls come on stage and talking to them and stuff. Also, shout out to Killer Mike keep calling them little Black girls.
All right, these are fucking grown-ass women. They're not children.
Okay.
Every time. If I can find a picture of you from 51 years ago, chained to a Black woman, protesting segregation, and I know 51 years later, you're willing to fold your arms, hold your head, and listen to two Black girls yell and scream, rightfully so, as opposed to someone who will tell you to shut up after they read their own words.
Well, can I talk? And then maybe you can listen to what I say.
As opposed to someone who will tell you later. When it comes to your children dying in the streets, I know that the only person that I have the conscience to vote for is Bernard Sanders.
I didn't know Killer Mike was a preacher. Also, at Netroots, when he wouldn't say her name and then dipped from the stage in any pro stage interviews, was that the same Bernie Sanders? Is that a different guy that we didn't, that did not happen? Were we in the Twilight Zone?
And Bernie Sanders stand to the side. It wasn't because he was willingly standing to the side. He had to. Like, he went to the side, and he was not happy that they interrupted them, and he let it be known that he was not happy.
Yeah, he said he was angry about it.
Right.
He was quoted as saying that.
I know that the only person that my logical, beautiful Black mind will allow me to vote for is Senator Bernie Sanders. And I want to tell the other side, I know from going around and shaking hands and hugging these beautiful Black faces in South Carolina, that goddamn firewall got a crack in it.
Okay, back to the issues.
Yes. So, some masterful re-narrativization on that joint. But anyway, what this really, the entire point is, because honestly, you know, I think if Killer Mike's that passionate about who he's voting for, whatever, good for him. You know, I don't feel that kind of passion.
Somebody got a passion.
But what I will say is, bingo, there's your proof that Bernie Sanders is just the same as any other fucking politician to allow that to happen. Like, like it's the same shit. Like, you're not some great friend of Black people. You gotta lie and make it up. How do I know you weren't lying about the shit with King or the protest that before? How do I know you're not embellishing your part in that shit? Like, if the whole thing is just, how do we shape and adopt this narrative, co-opt this narrative, regardless of the fact that people were watching and know exactly how shit went down, how does that make him different from anyone else? You know, we call Hillary Clinton a liar and she has no morals and she doesn't this. And then we watched it in real time as this motherfucker just switched over to like, and I politely stood to the side and said, hey, go ahead and go out there and speak, little Black girls. Yeah, scream your heart out. And you're like, okay, man. All right. But, you know, but he's not a politician. He's just an old cranky guy that should be president. It's not slick at all. Speaking of slick, did you see the trailer for the new Ghostbusters?
No.
I did see the trailer for the new Ghostbusters, and I just mainly, the thing it reminded me of the most, which is kind of ironic, is how much I never really liked the first two Ghostbusters films. Like, I liked them in the, this is my childhood, this is a sense of time, but I know I couldn't have liked them that much. I don't own those films. I never rewatched those films. I don't search for those films. Yeah. I've never looked on Netflix to see if they had it. Like, I do not revisit that at all. I remember they had a cartoon.
Yes, they did. And I watched that.
Yeah, I remember seeing the cartoon. I don't remember much about the cartoon. You know what I mean?
No, me either.
I think the main thing I remember was Slimer went from, instead of just being a small part that was like a ghost in the movie, it would turn into like the mascot, like the Scooby-Doo of Ghostbusters.
Right. He became a more of an essential part of it. When I was younger, I would watch it whenever it would come on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it wasn't like Gremlins or some of the other movies that came on when I was younger.
And I remember Bobby Brown had the Ghostbusters song for part two, but that was the best part of the movie. The Ghostbusters song was the only part of the movie that was, you know, worth watching. Well, anyway, I saw the trailer, and in the trailer, basically, and now I didn't know all this behind the scenes machinations, so let me start with that first of all. Apparently there was word behind the scenes that once they started casting, and they were like, you know, they want to cast a black person as part of the crew, same as the first Ghostbusters, as a black person mm-hmm. as part of the crew. They were like, okay, well, in the first movie, and this is all shit that I never heard, but Ernie Hudson, who had was the fourth Ghostbuster, and mm-hmm. apparently that character started out as like a former Marine and like a, you know, like a scientist and all this shit. Like, he had all these qualifications, but by the time the movie came around and he got the script, it was just, he's just a guy who comes in and says, I need a job, and if y'all pay me, I believe anything y'all say. And that was now the character.
I didn't know that either.
Right. So he said the character went from being in on like page one or page eight of the script to page 68. So Ooh. they pretty much stripped and relegated that character to this, to this other role, you know, where he's not the, like, everyone else is a scientist and he's just a dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that context obviously matters in this situation, because Leslie Jones is cast as the black person in the Ghostbusters female relaunch. So it's like they're doing two relaunches, a male one and a female one. The all women one is the one the trailer's out for now, and Leslie Jones is the black person in this group. I don't think I even saw another black person in the trailer, like, at all, which is its own set of problems, which you know, it's kind of an issue. But I want to say it's like Christian Wiig and Jenny McCarthy, Melissa McCarthy, I mean, and Leslie Jones, and I forget the fourth person, Kate McKinnon, that's it. Here's the trailer, Karen, if you want to see some of it. It says 30 years ago, four scientists saved New York. Now,
it sure does.
I don't know. Was the black dude a scientist? Maybe he was. I don't know.
Or was somebody, or was like,
they counting somebody else?
Yeah, or was, what is his name? The dude with the glasses.
Rick Moranis?
Was he a scientist? Like they might be counting another character and just kind of lumping them into the group.
I don't know. Said this summer, and it's got the Ghostbusters logo.
It's a class four apparition. It's okay, she seems peaceful.
My name is Erin Gilbert, doctor of particle physics.
All right, let's get to the part where Leslie Jones comes in, because it's like a minute or so into the trailer.
Engineer. Erin, no one's better at quantum physics than you. We can provide a real service.
I'm joining the club. You guys are really smart about this science stuff, but I know New York. And I can borrow a car from my uncle.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
It's a Cadillac!
Let's go.
Let's go.
Oh.
Did you want to?
Sorry. I'll let you.
Next time. Okay.
Someone is creating a device that amplifies paranormal activity. And we might be the only ones who can stop it.
Holtzman, come on.
The hat is too much, right? Is it the wig or the hat?
There's a bigger picture at hand here. These ghosts can possess the human form.
So Melissa McCarthy's character seems gets possessed, and then Leslie Jones' character sees that she's possessed and attacking another Ghostbuster, so she has to stop it. Okay.
Oh hell no, the devil is a liar! Get out of my friend, ghost! The power of panic compels you!
Oh. Alright, so obviously Kara's laughing. Because you're extremely offended by that caricature of the angry black woman, I'm assuming?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, a lot of Twitter was very upset. A lot of people were very upset. You know, I saw people saying Leslie Jones is setting black people back, and she shouldn't have even taken this part, and that, you know, the problem was basically with her and her character. So what do you, first of all, what do you think about that?
We kind of talked about this before. Like I said, I don't have a problem, and I know that put it like this, my personal opinion about just her, a lot of people have a problem with her, period, and a lot of people bring in their personal stereotypes about her to this. Her just getting a role a lot of times causes people problems because she's not quote unquote, she don't fit the stereotype. She's tall, she's black, she's dark, she's not, a lot of people quote unquote wouldn't consider her attractive, and she has done black comedy for a very, very long time, and I think they are allowing her to be herself, and they built the storyline around her. They do this with men often, but for some reason when it comes to women, it becomes a problem. I think a lot of times people are bringing their politically correct beliefs and that we don't feel like there should be any black people that plays these particular roles, but these are your beliefs, and as far as I feel, sometimes I think people take their beliefs and they just want to throw it out there like everybody should believe this because I believe this, and I don't, like, I, you know, and I don't have a problem with people playing various different roles, you know, because I think, and I, but I just, some people, they don't want anybody in a slapstick, playing slapstick, they don't want anybody in a position that they consider beneath or playing up or out there entertaining the white folks, quote unquote,
right.
You know, and I'm not down for that. I don't care anything about your politically correctness, when it comes to this. I'm about the final product. Now if it looks bad, if it looks corny, okay, cool. I'm not bringing a lot of these biases to the argument that a lot of people have. And I do understand that for some people, they feel like they're tired of this, but they'll be tired about that no matter what. Like the people that constantly complain about they want everybody to be clean cut, they want everybody to not be flawed, they want everybody to be this and that, this, you know, you wouldn't watch the shit. Let's just keep that real. We watch stuff because people are flawed, people have problems, people have issues. You know, you can't tell a storyline if everybody already comes in perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my problem. It's not entertaining to me. You know, maybe you'll support that, but, you know, I don't see documentaries the number one thing on goddamn Netflix. So let's keep that real. To me, I don't have a problem with it at all. I think for some people, like I said before, they just don't want to see people in these positions, and I don't have nothing for you on that one.
Yeah, there's a few things to it, in my opinion. The first being, I would caution everybody, it is just a trailer.
Right.
And we don't know the full picture yet, you know, because it could be, with the way that they were discussing this film before it even came out, it could be like the okie doke where in the film she could have, like, she would have been a scientist, but something happened and now she works for the MTA, or, you know, like, it could be something to it. I'm not saying it will be, and the trailer definitely didn't show any of that, but I'm just saying be careful for the okie doke, because it could be, you know. But I mean, once the trailer's out, the film's probably pretty much done. And then with some of the things she said online, I'm gonna assume that they didn't take that direction, but that was one thing I would caution, because it's not the full movie. Two, I don't, like, one of the things I don't understand, and I think maybe it's because of, I never really knew the story behind the Ernie, Hudson issue with his character being stripped down.
Right.
So maybe people are just kind of, they're just feeling like, here we go again. This happened once, and now it's happening again. You know what I mean? They don't want a black person around that's gonna be an equal in the science field. Like, they have to be some other type of person. Another thing I had too was, because some people were like, well, why can't she just be a scientist and still have the same role and all that stuff? One, she probably could. I don't know that the behavior she has is relegated to non-scientist.
Correct.
Because Melissa McCarthy's in the movie doing all kinds of physical gags and stuff, and in this movie she puts on some glasses and she's a scientist, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing, but the only problem is, and this is why I say I have to be careful with all this, there's a lot of people that it wouldn't matter what she was in the movie, they don't like Leslie Jones or her type of comedy,
right?
And they're never gonna like it, because they're very sensitive to what white people think about black people. Mm-hmm. and the majority of their hangouts with Leslie Jones is that she's a big black woman,
right,
who's not afraid to, you know, get out there and do physical comedy, and
who's not afraid to be loud,
to be vulgar. You know, like, I've seen people that have had a problem with her from the time she got on SNL, you know, and which is funny, because she built a career of like 20 years doing stand up with mostly the black community, you know, pleasing black audiences. We find her funny, but it's like, she's our dirty little secret funny. Like, you're funny as long as white people don't laugh, because if white people laugh, then we don't know what they're laughing at. Because we know culturally it's probably not the same shit we're laughing at. So now you need to limit your career and yourself. I also find it odd that people would say stuff like, she's setting black people back, or she's the problem with, like, if you really have that systemic of an issue, then it's not her.
Nope.
You know, I didn't see anyone calling Paul Feig to the table, who directed the movie. Produced the movie. I didn't see anyone talking about the writers of the movie. They, like, why does blackness and the black person always carry the burden both ways? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I, because it's not like if they fucking did this movie, it isn't an unreasonable expectation to think that every single black actor or actress would go, I'm not taking the role for this movie.
Right.
It's unreasonable. So when we're talking about solutions to a problem, to me, putting the pressure on the actual people who create the movie, have the creative team, the casting team, the people who write the movies, to me, that seems like where the onus would go for something like this. Because it's just, it's completely ridiculous to expect that there's going to be 100% black solidarity, and we're going to shame anybody who would take a role like this.
Right.
That's fucking ridiculous. Not to mention, because people were like, well, she shouldn't have took the role and I'm like, why do you think she's not proud of her work?
Right, right.
They're like, well, she could have said something about it on Twitter instead of bashing, going back at people. Nigga, it's her job. She's in the movie. If you work at Walmart, I don't see you on Twitter being like, fuck Walmart and their oppressive conditions and da-da-da. Because you're at work. It doesn't make sense. You won't work again in this industry. The same reason Chris Rock didn't come out there and just only say Black Lives Matter shit is exactly the same reason that Leslie's not going to be on Twitter. Number one, assuming she agrees with you, which I doubt.
Me too.
Let's just start there. But two, let's just go ahead and say she agreed with you. She ain't gonna be on Twitter telling you, yeah, don't go see this movie, it's some bullshit, can't believe they did that to my character. You know, like, who the fuck gonna work with her again? She just got on. It took 20 something years of hard work for her to get on, and niggas can't wait to make her the fucking punchline. And I think in large part, and I'm sure they'll never confirm it, and people will deny it, in large part, you're ashamed of the kind of person that she is.
Right.
You're just ashamed of her. Like, it's cool when it's just us rooting her on, but you're ashamed of her on a bigger platform. It's like, why would they give her the part? If they would have had a sister that looked differently, or presented differently, there was a lot of that's different, you know, like, it's cool that she got on, I like her. But when it's big black Leslie Jones, then it's like, I don't know about this shit, you know. I still find the joke she made about slavery on the Weekend Update SNL to not only be funny, but to be one of the most poignant moments of comedy I've ever seen, period. Like, it's incredibly brave to, you're making a joke that involves not just that involves slavery, but involves slavery, it involves breeding, mm-hmm. It involves the hypocrisy of white people. It involves the way that we value the aesthetic beauty standards of women today,
right,
and women in the past. It involves the value monetarily of the black body. And we had people be like, I just don't like them white people laughing at that, so I don't want her to make that joke, therefore I don't like her. It's like, a lot of people just have a problem with her, and it would be a lot simpler if they would just say, I have a problem with her, so that people could be like, okay, well, you just don't like her and move on. But if you look at this trailer, and honestly the trailer got a bigger problem to me than her, I only laughed at Leslie's parts. She might be the only funny thing about that fucking movie, which,
right,
in that case, I ain't going to see it. Like, if the only thing funny is Leslie, you got to give me a better trailer than that, dog, because I didn't find myself laughing at all till she smacked the shit out of Melissa McCarthy. That's a lot, dog. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good. And the last thing I would say on this, and this was something that I wish we could have discussed more, I wish people would have kind of thought about, is why are we already accepting the premise there only has to be one black person? Because diversity cancels so much shit out that people don't realize. And let's not even say one black person, one person of color, one, you know, whatever. Everyone in this movie's Lily White, and then there's Leslie Jones. You know what I mean? Which is a problem in itself. One, how writers and white people view blackness. You know, the one black friend, the sassy black woman, the one, you know, and I think people do have a problem with that archetype, because we're sitting around like, well, y'all always try to put us in that box.
Right, right. And that critique is larger than her character. That's the thing. It's like, you arguing about something that's a larger systemic problem. Yeah. And you're trying to take it and package it all neat and perfect and say she's the problem, but she's not when it comes to this. We're talking and debating about two different things.
Right. And the thing is, like, people are saying, like, oh, I'm not respectable. Yes, you are. A lot of this is respectability politics. You don't want her to be an artist that is free to do her style of comedy unless it is measured against the prism of whiteness. It's like, what are the white people doing though? If your comedy isn't matching what the white people are doing, then you need to not do the comedy. Like, you don't get to be, like, if you want to do that black ass slapstick type comedy, come do it for the only black people, only black crowds. Like, yeah, you totally are doing respectability. You just don't want to say it because your measurement is something different. It's, you know, hey, my respectability involves, the shea butter natural hair crowd. My respectability involves a certain type of aesthetic of blackness I need my Negroes to be college educated. I need my Negroes to wear glasses. I need you still have that's still respectability. It's just coming from a different measurement. It's not, you know, it's not the pull your pants up measurement, but it ain't far off.
Sure ain't.
Cause you know that the thing is, cause people are like, well, she could just be a scientist. Yo, if she was a scientist and still slapping people, you'd have a fucking problem. You be like, well, she's, why she gotta be sassy? Why she gotta be the one to slap somebody? She gotta some steps? Why she gotta do slapstick? How come she can't just, why she gotta talk in slang? It still would have been a problem. You know, and Leslie, as an actress, keeping it real, that's probably her character. It's most comedic actors. They get you to play a version of yourself.
Right.
Like, they're not gonna get Leslie Jones there and be like, okay, put on these glasses, start using, five syllable words, let's, like, then what the fuck do we cast you for? Cause we don't want that. You know what I mean? We don't get Mark Ruffalo and say, okay, got buddy, you're a Marine, you're gonna kill 75 brown people, then you're gonna jump on a plane. Like, we don't do that cause we're like, we know you, that's not your bag, man. And comedy is even more typecast like that. But my bigger point being, I was like, you know what solves this 100%? When there's like, I don't know, like say there's a cast of 20 people, when 10 of them are not white people, that's it. It ain't even that complex. It ain't even that complex. Why my question was, why did the other three women scientists all have to be white women? These are questions that didn't even get brought up because we're already, and it's just a double-edged sword of blackness. The spotlight's on you, no matter how it goes. You didn't write the part. You didn't direct the movie. You didn't produce the shit. You didn't cast it. You went out for a role that's probably going to pay you more money than you've gotten before in other things and might be a vehicle to starhood of your own somehow. You accomplished this. You feel proud. And then you got to walk right outside and get the white people going, I don't like her in my movies anyway. I don't like black people in these movies. And then black people, I don't like a certain type of black person getting on. Like, it's just, you catch it both ways.
Yeah, and you catch it the third way because a lot of times the sexism rolled up in there too. Because a lot of times, not that people wouldn't complain if it was a man, but it's just one of those things where if he didn't fit the same stereotype, he would get critiqued too. But I don't think it would be to this extent.
We don't even, look, no offense, because I love the dude. And I think he's hilarious. We don't even say this shit about Craig Robinson in all the motherfucking movies with Seth Rogen.
Come on, dog.
We don't. You know what I'm saying? We don't. It's a black woman thing. She doesn't get to be that quote unquote stereotype or even get a chance to portray it on the screen as a character that she can make funny because we're already up in arms about what the white people gonna think about this already.
Right.
You know what I mean? And especially to bring it down upon her, because if people do have a problem with the racial stereotypes in Seth Rogen movies, they don't say Seth Rogen, they don't go to Craig Robinson and say, why'd you play the role? They go to Seth Rogen and say, why are you writing racist shit?
Yeah, they do.
And that's very, like, I don't know. Maybe it's a black woman thing. I don't know. But right. She, Leslie Jones is the one catching it. Right. And people were like, there was a group of people that I'm privy to that conversation. Like, I'm in this group. And they were like, yeah, you know, and I'm surprised by her response on Twitter. I was like, but she, you got to keep in mind, she's getting attacked too. And it's like, well, I didn't see anyone attacking her. Okay, now you sound like the Bernie Bros. You didn't see anyone attacking her because you're on the side of people that think she shouldn't have done it. If you would have actually, like, looked at her tweets, looked at her mentions, looked at the things people were saying about her, and you, like, you look at it. You, and especially when, because people are like, well, you know, you couldn't take the criticism personal. Look, motherfucker, when the criticism is me, And as a big black woman, she been getting criticized her whole entire fucking life.
Come on, dog. That's why it took us so long to get on, because the same critique she's getting now is the same critique she got years ago. When Chris Rock said that he tried to push and pump and promote her, they kept giving her the same bullshit arguments that she has now. They keep saying she's too black. They keep saying she's too big. They keep saying she's too tall. They keep saying she doesn't have the look. She's continually got these goddamn critiques for years.
Right. And, you know, and like, also, you guys should check out our stand-up. If y'all listen to this show, y'all should check out our stand-up anyway. It's called Problem Child. It's on Spotify and whatnot, but I would check that out if I was y'all. At any rate, she's like, in addition to that, like, she's been getting this criticism her whole life.
Right.
And now people want her to neatly separate that from their nerd shit about the Ghostbusters. That's not how life works for her as an actress. See, like, no one's making the compelling, like, well, here's the argument. They did this before with Ernie Hudson and da 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 da. They don't say that. They just be like, why are you taking this role? You a sellout. This some coon shit. I don't like this. You know what I mean? You setting black women back. That's what she's receiving. And then people want her to push back into the universe like, well, that is a good point. I shouldn't have done the role. Sorry, guys. What? You know, not, like I said, not to mention there's some respectability, there's some classism shit in there too, because
yeah,
why the fuck wouldn't a person that works in the MMA be able to fight fucking ghosts in a fucking fictional world where you can fight ghosts? Why the fuck is that only relegated to white science women? Why would that? And I guarantee you she'll be the best part of that movie too. That's what's gonna be even funnier. Movie might suck ass. It won't be because she put in 5%. Like, it's gonna be because she probably kicked that role's ass. But yeah, people were saying shit to her on Twitter. And she, you know, as she's wont to do, she responded back. I love was a person she was responding to, and she said, "They're not scientists either. They are actors."
Right. What the fuck?
Like, it's a role. I did not write the role, but
I'll write
just
the part.
So you know, Melissa McCarthy can't actually fight ghosts. She says, "I'm in a movie. I'm in the movie. Are y'all ever happy?" And then she said, "Who gives a fuck, dude? It's a movie. Shut up and watch. Oh my God, it's not science, actually. You guys bitch about nothing. If they made me a scientist, you'd be mad at the type. What type of scientist? Seriously, it's a fucking movie. Get over yourself." I received this, and this is a letter she got from an MTA worker, and she basically tweeted out the letter, right? "I received this from an MTA worker. Hey, Leslie, thanks for being you. A question was asked by a news writer about your role on your new movie, Black Actresses. This is my response. I work for the MTA in that role as a token booth clerk, and I was happy to see my job, something which provides me with plenty of jokes, a great perspective on society, a bird's eye view of horrible shit that I witness every day on screen. I wished Leslie would have hooked me up, a joke. However, the fact that my position as a clerk is the most abused by society, I feel this may give us a semblance of humanness. That's what I attempted to in my one woman show, Swipe This, My Life in Transit. That glass in the booth have folks thinking I'm invisible and I'm not a college graduate and a producer, comedian, writer, actor, etc. I'm a verb. I'm not a college graduate and a producer, comedian, writer, actor, etc. I'm a verb. I'm not a miserable neck rolling stereotype in civil service. I love my job and I enjoy engaging people with information infused with humor. Leslie is a comedian. She's a larger than life personality, and it's the first thing we see no matter what role she gets. As she grows, she will be able to tap into all her great. I'm supporting this movie because I see me. I hope you receive all that's for you. You look so cute in the uniform. Congrats, sis. I'm proud. Proud of you. Kick ass." And Leslie said, "Why can't a regular person be a Ghostbuster? I'm confused. And why can't I be the one who plays them? I'm a performer. Just go see the movie." Another person she responded to, she said, "You haven't seen the movie yet. You don't know what the fuck my character is. You watch the trailer. Oh my God, are y'all that arrogant? So is an MTA worker trash?"
Right.
"Regular people say the world every day, so I'm the stereotype, and so be it. We walk among heroes and take them for granted. It's not a man, woman, race, or class thing. It's a Ghostbuster thing. As far as I'm concerned, we all Ghostbusters. Stand tall." She responded to another person. "The trailer did not show that all the trailer, three different type of women getting stuck together. How the fuck you sick? How the fuck you sick kick? I don't know what that means. You haven't even seen the movie yet. Are y'all crazy? Because that's how y'all sound." Another person said, "No need to be pissy to the people looking out for you." That's another paternalistic. "I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for you by calling you a coon.
Come on,
dog. By calling you trash. What? By saying you set black people back. Oh, I'm looking out for you. The film hasn't come out yet, so why get mad at us?" She says, "I can ask the very same thing of why y'all getting pissy with me, insulting me. You not looking out. Y'all just being mean assholes."
Right.
So I stand with Leslie. Fuck that, man. Might end up go see this movie just because of y'all. God damn it, people.
Right, and it just fucking frustrates me, particularly being a black woman. It just fucking frustrates me. We never get goddamn freedom to do anything. A lot of people would rather see a man dressed in a man dressed up as a woman than they would see a fucking black woman playing a black woman role. What right. the fuck is wrong with people? It makes me mad. It's one of those things when it comes to black women, we don't have the fucking freedom. We don't have the same freedoms that men have. I don't comprehend this. You have black men comedians that quote unquote do nothing but play these goddamn coon roles, as you call it, and they do not get this same critique. We're not a monolith. Just let them do them. You don't show up at your job and be like, well, boss, I don't like what you do today. Fuck this. I'm not getting paid. No, but then don't ask them to do the same thing.
You know what I'm worried about, though, with a lot of this shit is what, like, I guess, like, what would have happened if they would have given this role to a light-skinned woman with natural hair? You know what I'm saying? Like, would we get the same pushback? Mm-hmm. And that's on the one half, and then on the other half, would they have considered a woman like that?
That's true too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a double-edged sword, because and then as a black person, you just get caught in the middle and you're supposed to answer for both parties. You know what I mean? Like, people always do that shit, man. And this, and like, folks can't see that they're hypercritical of the black artist because there's not enough black artists.
Right.
You know, to, fuck it, we can just get into the bigger discussion. Like, people come at Kevin Hart. Why the fuck would you come at Kevin Hart?
Right.
If you don't find him funny, don't go see his movie.
Come on, dog.
Point being, the dude is box office bank, and he's the hardest working motherfucker in the game, and he's a good ass human being. Period. Off the off that fucking screen and off that mic.
You get back to the community.
Dude does nothing but positive shit. Period. People call him a coon. The fuck are you talking about? He's not Don Lemon. You know what I mean? He's not Stacey Dash. He's a fucking actor and a comedian. That's it. He didn't spend all time telling black people they ain't shit.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? I like, honestly, Chris Rock's niggas versus black people bit is way more fucking harmful to black people than anything Kevin Hart's ever done on screen, off screen, on stage, period. Period. Like, get the fuck out of here with that, man. It's just this double trap of being black. Oh, you black and you getting all the work? Well, that's bad. Oh, you're black and you don't get any of the work because white people don't want to employ you? Well, that's bad too. Fuck you doing being black trying to be an artist. What kind of shit is this, man? It's not thought out. It's just poisoning that we've held on to from white supremacy, man. We're poisoned to view blackness from the prism of whiteness. Like, even your blackness got to go through this litmus test of, well, what will white people think about your blackness? If that's the most authentic blackness that you are, if that's you, if that's the real you, then fuck them. Who cares what they think? As a fan, I'm a fan of you, not the fan of what the fuck white people think about you. You know what I mean? That shit is insidious, man. That's why Dave Chappelle went to Africa. Like, motherfuckers are freaked out by the idea of the white gaze, but it's paralyzing us. It's paralyzing our art. It's paralyzing the way we receive the art. You know, like I said, when you calling a dude a coon for being funny and doing slapstick comedy, you've already lost. You're off the reservation.
Right.
You're off the reservation. I could see if the motherfucker was saying harmful things or something, like, but they're not.
Nope. He ain't bothering nobody. He's just making his money, dog.
Yeah. And by extension, I'm talking everybody.
Right.
I'm talking Tyler Perry.
Right. Let him be too.
I've heard people say, you know, Tyler Perry needs to. Tyler Perry just needs to stop making movies and let other people use his studio and they can make movies.
Nigga, for why?
So the movie, let me get this right. I build something from the fucking ground up.
Come on.
I make a ton of fucking money investing my own time and resources into it. I super serve the black community, which gets overlooked quite often in other spectrums, which is why I'm so fucking profitable and why my fan base is so fucking loyal. You know, these black church going women that didn't have movies to go watch, now they go watch my shit. They love it.
Yes, they do.
They hear that he could put on a dress tonight and make fucking $300 million by the end of the year. He could do it now. Like, it's just always in the bank. I've never seen a Madea movie, Karen. I've only seen two Tyler Perry movies ever. I don't think Tyler Perry movies are good movies.
Oh, they're not. I've seen more than one.
I just would like it to be clear. I still think motherfuckers need to shut the fuck up and let Tyler Perry do what the fuck Tyler Perry do.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Right, because it's a larger systemic problem, like I said before, bigger than him.
How is he a coon for doing his art?
Right.
The problem is always, and it's always the same fucking solution. It just needs to be more black people doing shit.
Right.
And I mean that by in the way of Tyler Perry's not stopping any black people from doing shit. If anything, he's helping black people get on. If anything, he paved the way for a lot of your faves today.
Come on now.
Like a lot of the people that you support now wouldn't have got in the door if it wasn't for Tyler Perry proving that he could go out there and make that money.
Taraji.
If it wasn't for that distribution, there's no Taraji on Empire without Tyler Perry. You know what I'm saying? Like, we like to pick our faves, but shit on the people that paved the path to get them there. But in large part, that's him helping. So my bigger point is, what you really need is 12 black directors making movies a year. 13, 100, a billion, 1,000. It doesn't matter. It just can't be just one. But if there is just one, that's not the one's fault. How the fuck is the game so rigged that my success automatically makes me the target? You see what I'm saying? Like, I made it doing shit my way without selling black people out. And yet somehow it's my fault too. I'm supposed to let other people use your studio and make movies. So you think Tyler Perry makes bad movies, but then he gonna pick good directors and producers to make other movies? He gonna pick people to make shit like him. The plan is stupid. It's a dumb plan. You wouldn't do that with your own podcast. I'd be goddamned if tomorrow's two other motherfuckers was hosting the Blackout Tips because someone thought they could do it better. Nigga, you better start your own shit. What the fuck is this?
Right, because the thing is, at the end of the day, it's easier for people to sit back who have nothing invested, no time, no sweat equity, no blood, no money, no financial backing, and they don't support your shit. It's real easy for them to critique every fucking thing that you do when at the end of the day you're not doing shit. You won't go support your own, you won't go create your own, you constantly tear down other people's shit, and at the end of the day, for a lot of people, you have problems in your own personal motherfucking life that you take out on people.
Yeah, and true equality would be Tyler Perry being able to make those movies and not stop until the day after Adam Sandler's done. Like, that's true equality. Just you keep cranking out that shit, cause your shit make money. His don't. Keep cranking that shit out and make that money. And actually, no, Pixels made money. So Adam Sandler makes money like one out of every four films, and Hollywood keeps giving him green lights. I don't understand why that's okay, but Tyler Perry is setting all black people back because he does the same fucking thing, except he makes money every single fucking time. Get the fuck out of here, man. This shit is ridiculous, dog. The game's so rigged. You know what I mean? We try to make it so thankless to be black, and definitely thankless to look out for black people.
Come on, dog.
Like, why it's gotta be thankless? Look, I can't control how white people view blackness and how they try to make it, but the obsession with trying to control it is stupid. If Leslie Jones didn't do this movie, the kind of black people, the kind of white people that are obsessed with the angry black woman stereotype, ta-da, they still think that shit, guys. Her not taking the role doesn't change a fucking thing in your life. But we're obsessed with it too, trying to control it, but we don't want to call it respectability when we do it, right? But it's the same shit. You gotta let people be their truest, most authentic black ass selves. That's the only goal to all this shit. If anything else in the game is rigged. Anyway, that shit pissed me off so bad, man. Like, if you like, and like I said, man, I just don't understand. I don't understand how this happens, because when we put the public pressure on Leslie Jones or Kevin Hart or whoever the fuck, it takes all the pressure off of Paul Feig. It takes all the pressures off the writer room. It takes all the pressure off of these motherfuckers. Yet, look at Saturday Night Live. They hire black writers and new black women that write and on the other side of the camera. Show done got 20 times better when it talks about its commentary on race. Mm-hmm. coincidence?
Do you think you get that Beyonce thing? No.
Is it a coincidence? I just wonder. Is it a coincidence? I don't know if the black women worked on the Beyonce thing or not, but it's coincidental.
Right.
They got some niggas in the writing room and the shit got better about race. Wow. What a fucking, well, that, isn't that amazing? Isn't that wild? You know what I mean? Like we can't say, I think when you accept this premise that Leslie Jones is the problem here, you basically agree with Matt Damon. Like, we don't need diversity behind the camera. It's all what's going on in front of the camera. We just cast a different type of black person and we fixed the film. No, you didn't. Still only one nigga in your whole fucking film. You know what I mean? Like, we need more, dog. And also, it's just a trailer, man. I really think a lot of people just don't like Leslie Jones and they don't want to, they don't want to sound petty by saying it.
Right. And also, the truth be told, she just, you know how some people, which I, and I guess me just being a black woman and me knowing how black women's faces are critiqued, she just quote unquote has an angry looking face. And I think for a lot of people, they feel like her face is angry. And for me, that's very, very, and that goes back into her looks and all that stuff, but it's very, very frustrating. And I think for a lot of people, it's automatic turn off because you're looking at her face, just her face, period, and just assuming that she's playing a quote unquote black angry role because of the way her face looks. There are men with faces like this too, but they don't get the same critique.
Yeah, it just, it reminds me of like my Aunt Cindy. One time we were in the, it was like Thanksgiving. And she was talking about this her love life in the kitchen. I was probably like, I don't know, 16, 15 or something. And she goes in there and she does like a 20-minute stand up set about fucking these dudes and and how her new man was Mexican, and she would go through all the different ethnicities and the stereotypes of the love making, and it was vulgar, it was crass, it was loud, it was rude, it was angry, it was funny, it was everything. And I damn near had a fucking asthma attack. I had to leave the kitchen because I was laughing so hard I couldn't control my, like, I was having an asthma attack from laughing. I couldn't even speak or say what was wrong with me because she had me laughing that much. And one, when I think of funny people, that's the kind of shit I think about, my mostly black woman family, because those are like the funniest people I know for the most part. And then secondly, I think about, like, when I see Leslie Jones, I think about that. She reminds me of my aunts. You know, she reminds me of people that made me laugh because they were willing to go into the room and just be funny and be themselves. And I feel like for a lot of black people, a certain type of black person, we are ashamed of that.
Right.
It's like we can laugh at that, but if someone else were to laugh at that, we start thinking about what they're laughing at and if they really are laughing at us. And that ain't freedom to me. You know, that's not freedom to me. So I ride for people to do what the fuck they want, man. Like I said, I find more problems with shit like Niggas versus Black People than I find with Leslie. You know, like she had me in stitches, man. Like, the part where she was on her stand up when she was talking about, talking about having a dude that'll fuck you right or having a good man, and she was like, good man and good dick don't come in the same package. And
they don't.
She was like, I'm not saying good men can't fuck. I'm not saying that. But he can't, he was like, but not like the nigga that'll fuck the shit out of you. Like, it's funny, but it was a mostly black room with everyone laughing and everyone thought she was funny. You insert white people into the same room with those black people, now black people looking at white people going, why are you laughing? And that's the prism that she's in, and that the prison that she's in. Like, she, her comedy can't grow but so much before black people get fucking worried about what white people think about it. And I'm just saying, fuck them. That has no bearing on whether I find her funny or not. It's not like she's doing that shit for a white audience. If she would do that shit in Soul Plane 3, and motherfuckers would be like, oh yeah, well that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like you want to keep us limited as well, and I refuse to give in to that shit. You know, and by extension, for the record, I guarantee it's motherfuckers that would think that about our podcast. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, this shit ain't no different than why we don't make certain lists on podcasts and shit, because we cuss and say nigga.
Come on,
even though we accurate, even though we're college educated, yeah, we're Southern. Maybe we got some accents, but we're not no fucking. We're no less authentic. We're no less good. You know, maybe certain white people don't find this shit palatable, and certain black people either.
Right.
But that shit ain't never gonna stop me from shining, so fuck that, man. I can't believe people buy into this bullshit.
Right, and that's
self-defeating.
Right, that's another reason why I fight against a lot of it, because like I said, I know for a lot of people, and we've heard the critiques, especially, put like this, if you're on any type of platform where people can quote unquote critique you, especially if you put anything out for public consumption, you automatically get these critiques. So it's just one of those things where people automatically hear my voice and they automatically just check out. People automatically hear Roger's voice, they automatically check out. You know, it's one of those things where we cuss too much. You know, we don't talk about political stuff. It's whatever it is. And a lot of times, like I said, you bring your own biases, your own critiques, because in your mind, black people should be fit in a certain box. And if they don't fit in this box, you don't fuck with them.
Right. It's like I said, man, that shit hits home. Anyway, did we talk about Melissa? Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, but there's some updates. We ain't talking about the updates.
What updates? What happened?
Oh,
I got this one article I just wanted to read from last night.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I know she tweeted some hot fire. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't what I was gonna say. I saw this article by Ben Carter, who writes for Blavity.com, and he said, Melissa Harris Perry's mistake was that she didn't own her masters, in quotes. As you must have heard at some point by now, Melissa Harris Perry is a former host and media personality on cable network MSNBC. Story arc is too long to get into, but Harris Perry was essentially fired from the network after 4 years of MHP show, which aired for a couple of hours on Saturdays and Sundays each week. Now, first of all, that's kind of some bullshit. She wasn't fired. She quit.
Oh, yes, she
didn't
quit.
Take an NDA. She didn't take a payout. She quit.
Yes, she did. And then they were like, oh, you quit. We fired you. But yeah, she quit that job.
She didn't get fired. Mm-mm. Okay. But playing fast and loose with the facts. Okay. Harris Perry shared an email to her show staff, lambasting MSNBC for what she viewed as an unfair, incorrect treatment as a host. Days after her email went intentionally public, she was fired. Many think pieces, tweets, and video commentary on the matter have been published. Many have been focused on whether or not her firing was linked to her being a black woman, or whether or not MSNBC is suffering from a move away from its typically progressive stance on diverse views and television hosts. But I see another thing as the primary issue, and that's about the importance of legally owning your work. Owning your masters. If you were born before 1993, there's a great chance you're familiar with the concepts of musicians owning or not owning their masters. Masters are essentially the exclusive right to derive a profit from the playing and other exploitation of an original song or musical composition. Before the internet and NASA changed the way music industry worked, record labels were practiced in securing rights to hit songs in advance of their release. They would pay the performing artist a lump sum or salary and go about the business of making profit from the song and the artist created from that moment on. With music transitioning to the digital age, getting a large lump sum check from a music label just wasn't enough. Performing artists wised up and realized there was nothing more important than holding the legal rights to the music you create. The number of artists who hold the rights to their music in part or in its entirety is much larger now than it ever was before a musician could become famous from playing covers on YouTube. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis likely own their masters and every dime of their songs they generate. Likely? Well, so you don't know that. Mm-mm. And you assume that, well, I pick out the two white rappers in a industry with nothing, with so many black people.
Come on now.
Despite his self-professed debt, I'm sure Kanye West owns the masters to his music, and you better believe Queen B, Ladies Run the World, and this formation also owns her own masters.
Jesse owned all his.
Yeah, I don't know. In the public spat, in this By the way, you're now comparing the music industry to cable news. I just want to make that clear that those industries may not work the same.
Don't she got a master's degree? What are we talking about here? She's a doctor.
I don't think he means those kind of master. I don't think he say own your master's degrees. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about owning the rights to everything you produce. In this public spat between herself and the cable network, Melissa Harris Perry forgot most important business principle in media or any other area of making a profit from your creative work. She forgot that at MSNBC, she didn't own a thing, let alone any masters. So, I don't even know what he means by doesn't, right?
I don't understand, because, you know, TV kind of works a little different. I mean, just like any company you work for, if you produce something, they own the rights to it. And if you leave, if they, I mean, you could buy them out, odds are you won't, but they own the rights to your brand and all that shit, your name. Like, they own the rights to that. Anything that you create, they own. That's the contract.
But we don't know that with Melissa Harris Perry.
That's true.
Why are we assuming that? There's already been companies that have offered her a job elsewhere already. She just hasn't accepted any yet, but she's already said that she's had offers. We don't know what she's going to do next or what she even wants to do next.
True.
Why is the assumption that her leaving MSNBC, not being fired, somehow puts her in a precarious situation? She chose that of her own volition.
Yeah, the truth.
There's a lot of assumption going on.
I think she'd be just fine, but yeah.
There's just a lot of assumption going on that we don't know shit. To be blaming her or saying, you forgot you don't own your masters. What is she gonna, you know, is she not gonna ever be on TV again? Or is like, what is your point here? Anyway. He felt feeling some type of way. This is a lot. There's a lot to unload on this public spat between Harris and MSNBC, but I want to focus on one specific area. Harris Perry has been quoted as saying, they wanted us to cover politics in the narrowest sense. I told my team we can't allow our show to go off air and then provide racial cover by having me continue to host the show so people see the little black girl up there. Harris Perry believed it was her duty to protect her show from becoming a watered down version of what it had been in the past and save the voice of diversity, an admirable goal and one I personally support. However, at the core of this statement lies an undeniable fallacy. The false portion of this statement was that it was ever her show at all. Harris Perry didn't own any part of her show, and she never did. She didn't own the camera. She didn't own the set or the studio she filmed in each week. She didn't pay her show staff. Doesn't get reports from an HR department when there's a workplace harassment issue. She didn't even own the chair she sat in during the record of a show, recording of her show. Melissa Harris Perry didn't own her masters and therefore didn't own any component of the finished creative product or right to executive control, to execute control over the show's or network's direction. Here's the thing that he apparently has completely skipped his mind. This is what happens sometimes when you outthink yourself. She owns Melissa Harris Perry.
Come on, dog.
So, I mean, unless you think this weekend they're going to run the Melissa Harris Perry show starring another person, then she kind of made her point. Like, current events will continue to happen. She will not be covering them for MSNBC because she doesn't want to. Because she only wants to cover it in the way that she would like to and not another way. What is getting lost here? You know what I mean? Like, you know what? This reminds me of motherfuckers who don't own shit. Mm-mm. but talk about like business as if they know something because they learn like three keywords and then they don't know how complex or simple what they say is.
Right.
It's like, so I should definitely get the copyright on this first. And you're like, yeah, nigga, that you don't know how complex it is to get a copyright, do you?
It's not.
Yeah. And you also don't know in the context of what you're creating, how, if you even need that copyright.
Yeah, you might be wasting your time and money.
Right. So what you trying to say is, okay, see, what you got to do first, you got to patent this shit. You're like, yeah, dog, I didn't invent podcasting, so
what,
I don't.
What are you patenting? Yeah,
I'm not going to get the patent on that, bro. I'm just going to have to sorry, it's just not gonna happen. You know, like it's just, but people that don't, you know, what do you ever think about incorporating? Like, but why would I need to incorporate I'm selling Girl Scout cookies. It's already what are you talking about? Did you patent them Girl Scout cookies that you sold? Like, come on man. like you don't, like, if you don't understand, look, things happen. You're a writer, maybe you have a deadline, maybe you don't. You don't have to write about something you don't know about. You know what I mean? You wrote this, you don't own Blavity. Blavity could take this shit down. You know what I'm saying? You forgot you didn't own your own masters? Like, no. If you decide to never write for Blavity again, I won't be writing the article talking about this nigga forgot he owned it, didn't own his masters.
Because it won't matter.
Harris Perry fundamentally misunderstood her relationship to the show she hosted and the audience she served. I can imagine the changes she experienced from above were frustrating, but when you are not at the business head of the show, you host your podcast or any creative media product, you lose your ability to have a deciding say. When you don't incur the risk of being on air and simply take a salary, you become an employee. You serve as a cog in an overall business strategy that sees your value as a necessary component of meeting overall business goals.
My thing is this, do we know that she was an employee of MSNBC, or was she independent? You don't know. You're making assumptions about the way her shit was set up.
Yeah, we don't even know that. And what's funny, though, is that doesn't mean she forgot. Why do you assume because she came to the conclusion that I don't want to do this job anymore? You go, well, she clearly forgot what the job is. No. She didn't agree with the changes they made, so she dipped. What the fuck? Is this a nigga? Is this a man? Please don't be a black man. Let me look up this man. See if this a brother. He only got 3 posts. Okay. Oh, he has a website called ManageYourDamnMoney.com.
Yeah.
Classy. I'm sure he owns
the book.
I'm sure he owns the website that hosts this, right? You know, like, you know, I'll be like, this is hosted by Squarespace. I'm sure he owns Squarespace, you know. Mm-mm. I'm sure he's using the black man's internet. He's probably not using Time Warner or anything.
Ah, a Comcast.
Damn, he is a black man. God damn it, Ben Carter.
Of course.
All right. Oh, God. Why we got it? Why, man? I just want to do a show on Sundays. Could be silly. This fact seems to have been lost in much of the discussion. The greatest shame lies in Harris Perry sacrificing her voice perspective for pride. So how is she? So you support her for taking a stand. But then later you say the greatest shame is that she sacrificed her voice for perspective and pride. For perspective for pride. But why is that a shame? Even if there was a change in program philosophy at MSNBC, Harris Perry decided it was more important to publicly share her displeasure with what she was experiencing than to remain in the position to contribute her voice to a network she didn't own. Her pride was more important than my own love of seeing her on television. Oh, you mad because it's not on show on TV no more? Is that what this is?
Yeah, because it ain't about you, nigga.
Right. And also, you're proving her point. Right. She owns Harris Perry. She owned that. She owned every inch of her own body and decided, do the shit without me then. If it ain't going to be the way I want, the ultimatum is this. You do the fucking show the way I say, or we don't do the show with me. Every single human being on this planet can do that.
Mm-hmm. At any period of time, if you choose to.
If you have a job and you say, fuck it,
yeah,
you can do that.
And walk at the door.
Sometimes you're not a fucking slave.
Mm-mm.
You have an employment relationship. They send the checks, you receive the checks. You send the work, they receive the work. Anybody wants that shit to end, it ends.
Right. You go in to work tomorrow, they can hand you the pink slip, and you cannot show up tomorrow, and you giving them the pink slip. So right. Either way, the relationship, both parties have the right and the choice to leave the relationship.
Right. You know, it's like, I own my own business, but you know, when the tax man come, I still got to give him his motherfucking money. Like, it ain't like, I ain't got no boss, nigga. I do whatever the fuck I want to do. Man, if fucking Dreaming, if Dream Host come up here tomorrow, I'll be like, Wayne, your website is fuck you.
Right.
I gotta figure some shit out, cause I ain't figured out how to create internet out of nothing. Everybody gotta create it, has a deal they have to do. Everybody. Anyway, he says, it was more important than my and others' love of her insight and point of view. It was more important than our love of seeing her rock a protective hairstyle on national television. What's the point of having, what's the point of being the fucking mascot of blackness if you can't be protective of your own black ass perspective? What is the fucking point? Sitting up there just doling out news, and now it has none of you in it. The show was her, flaws and all. You can't just take away and be like, oh well, you know what, man, we decided to change your job, you just need to sit here and read the news and shut the fuck up and no more opinion on shit, just Trump all day. And then you go, why would you betray the black people by not doing that, than just saying, doing what they told you to do? Get out of here.
Right. And this same person who could complain about how her shows change and how she don't talk about black shit no more.
Right. She's just a shell of herself. But that's better than leaving with your dignity and pride intact. Look, dog, if I had a daughter, that's the lesson I'm teaching her, is look what Melissa Harris Perry did. She walked away. Like, she didn't let that shit trap her. And you can be yourself too. He says shout out to Jemele Hill at ESPN, we love you too, girl. Yeah, until the second that she decides that I don't like the changes they're making to hers, his and hers or something, right? Then all of a sudden you ain't on your masters, girl. Oprah Winfrey owned a portion and eventually all of what she helped create during her decade long run on Oprah. She didn't own it from the start. Stop. She didn't say Oprah was trying to buy NBC anyway. She turned into a success into her own network, and co-founder of Blavity, Morgan Dubon, owns this site and everything that happens to it. Alex Von Tobel, founder of LearnVest.com, owned her product and sold it for $250 million. Hey, man, how much of this site do you own, Ben Carter? Ben, how much of Blavity do you own, dog? These women incur the cost of creating and maintaining their own wide reach of platform. That means they also own the right to make decisions, executive control over what direction that platform takes. These women are true representations of magic happening in media and business. This is hashtag Black Girl Magic lesson. Own your masters or risk becoming no more than the network's pawn. Wow. And it's sad that people are co-signing this shit in the comments. This is ridiculous.
And not to get our subject, something that really, really, really pisses me off is that when black women own anything, especially particularly to celebrate themselves, people have got to take what they mean and they twist it and they turn it and they make it mean other shit, because I'm tired of people using hashtag Black Girl Magic for shit that it was not goddamn intended for.
Right.
It was not intended for this.
Right.
It was intended for us to love and support ourselves for who we are.
Right.
Not for you to write these goddamn think pieces and then be like, hashtag Black Girl Magic, like it's a fucking joke. Like it's not real. Like it's not black women out here doing fucking great and awesome, wonderful things in their lives and never goddamn being recognized by anybody, sometimes not even their own family and friends, goddamn not even their own husbands and boyfriends. And so it's fucking frustrating when people write these half as complimentary, insulting think pieces, because to him it's complimentary to tell her she don't own shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, hashtag real, you know what, Black Girl Magic, fuck you, you know. And it's just one of those things where it just frustrates me when people do this, particularly black men, because you know what? The shit wasn't about you. So you had to write something to make it about you. This is about Melissa Harris Perry and her relationship with MSNBC. It didn't have a goddamn thing to do with you. So instead of you just letting this shit roll out, you had to write an article about something that had to rearrange the argument about your black ass. And it didn't have a motherfucking thing to do with you.
It's so patron. He just patronized.
Right. And it's sexist.
Right. I know more than you. This is what real black girl magic would be. These other women, not you. You messed up. Take that as a lesson from the nigga that don't own Blavity.
Right. You might as well say hashtag, what about black on black crime?
God damn. What a fucking idiot.
And that's something that I pick up on really, really often when you read these articles and shit like that. And you're like, well, goddamn, you're using the hashtag, which ain't got a fucking thing to do with your arguments.
It also, doesn't it seem like he started with the conclusion of, I'm going to shit on Melissa Harris Perry, and then just like, I'll figure a way out to in these next 1,000 words.
Right, because and maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm just fucking old. Critical thinking skills are gone. People do not use critical thinking skills when they write articles. Not only that, they don't have editors. They don't have people that read people's shit and go, nigga, this don't make no motherfucking sense. Cross, 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 redo. Do it again before I post it. Because, you know, nowadays everybody wants to get everything out quick, so you just let them post shit, and this is the end results when people don't proofread your stuff.
Right. Just, ugh. She forgot she didn't own her own masters. No, she didn't. She quit. She got fired. You didn't need to do the basic research.
Yeah, and that's what happened when there's no journalistic integrity and people aren't forced to go find the truth.
What a haphazardly written piece of shit.
Right.
All right, let's get into guess the race. 100 for... told you guys what it was gonna be, okay?
Yeah, everybody got a 100 today.
Just 100. No other way to even view that, guys.
Everybody, you know, in case you wasn't listening before, everybody got 100. You was playing the whole show.
Mm-hmm. Tried to tell y'all when we started off. All right.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read or play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. I was reading something during that and fucked up the words. Anyway, here's the first article. And this happened, it looked like this happened in Charlotte.
So oh, shit.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Apparently, a woman killed her husband when she caught him with another woman.
Oh.
A relative of Crystal Gambino, I don't know if she's related to Childish Gambino, told a Gaston County 911 operator that Gambino told her family that she killed her husband Monday night after catching him with another woman. The caller, who identified himself as Gambino's brother-in-law, said in his 911 call that Gambino put the body on the other woman in a wheelbarrow. Oh, wait, before I even get into this. Almost fucked up. These guesses of the races is brought to you by Bevel. Mm-hmm. That's right. Bevel is trying to help you get that smooth skin. Mm-hmm. You got that kinky, curly, coarse hair, don't you? Well, aren't you trying to have products that are tailored to it? Bevel wants to give you not only freedom from your kinky, curly, nappy, coarse hair bad products, not the hair itself, but the bad products that don't work with it. They want to give you freedom from those products, and they also want to give it to you for free. Oh, are you interested? Are you listening now, Craig? Well, you should be. Now there's a risk-free offer where you can get your first month free, yes, free, by using code TBGWT free when you go to getbevel.com and use code TBGWT free. Free first month. It only applies for new customers and memberships only. So if you've been wanting to try Bevel, now is the time in Melanin March. Start your Melanin March off smooth as eggs. All right, back to this. So yeah, the caller who identified himself as Gambino's brother-in-law said in his 911 call that Gambino put the body of the other woman in a wheelbarrow and rode her out to a burn pile in the backyard of the home.
Shit.
Shout out to Stephen Avery. She shared with her husband, Giovanni Gio Gambino. Crystal Gambino, 42, remained jailed Wednesday without bond in Gaston County, charged with 3 counts of first degree murder and the shooting deaths of her husband, 40, along with Jeffrey Glenn Gilligan and 39-year-old Stephanie Lynn Sanchez, who was 33. Okay, so Jeffrey was 39. So wait, it was 2 dudes and a woman?
Oh. They,
was it a threesome going on?
I don't know.
Little MMF it action?
May have been by. I don't know.
Little male, female? Multiple media outlets reported that the 3 victims were shot in the bedroom of Gambino's home on Alexis Lucia Road and were naked when they were found. Gilliland and Sanchez lived in at the Greenleaf Inn, a $55 a night motel on Monroe Road. These are people that met, had interaction, and then came together. And then the third party did not like it and took action. So it must have been male, female threesome.
Mm-hmm.
It says the 911 caller says Crystal Gambino told her family that she had cleaned up the scene and took care of the bodies. Come on, they was gonna catch you. Gaston County Police said officers were called to the home at 8 p.m. Monday. Police found the victims after they entered the home. They arrested Crystal Gambino a short time later at a relative's home in nearby Stanley. A portrait of the couple found pulled together from interviews with neighbors and a collection of public records revealed an unwieldy business network and sometimes stormy marriage. In 2009, Crystal took out a temporary restraining order against her husband and filed for divorce, requesting custody and child support for the couple's daughter, now 9. The case was dismissed. That same year, Gio Gambino was charged with communicating threats against his wife, and that charge was later dismissed. Crystal Gambino is a singer-songwriter whose Crystal Gambino band performs Americana and alternative rock music, according to her biography on Reverb Nation, a website that promotes musicians. The couple lived in a 3-bedroom home valued at $78,000. It was built by Crystal's great-grandfather, said her cousin Bob Hager, who lives a mile away. Hager said he doesn't know Crystal that well, but that Gio attended services with them from time to time at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Everybody liked Gio, Hager said Tuesday. He was a good father. He had great concern for his wife. He asked me to pray for her on one occasion. He also described Gio Gambino as a strong Christian, having threesomes in the house with people from the hotel.
Come on, dog.
All right, you say so, buddy. Giving that strong Christian wood. According to a 2011 federal bankruptcy filer, Gio Gambino took part in a scheme that defrauded the Bank of Granite out of $260,000 a decade ago. Gambino and his partners forged documents, bank statements, tax forms, and other records to make it appear that one of the partners, an unemployed car salesman, was wealthy enough to qualify for a loan to start Gambino New York Deli and Specialty Foods. The car salesman, identified as Richard Allen Mays, did not realize that he too was being swindled. The document says he signed a loan guarantee. Once the money changed hands, it was quickly siphoned off by Gambino and his other partners. None was spent on the deli, which the court says was never intended to be built. According to the court record, checks and or money wires were to numerous parties, including Gio Gambino, Crystal Gambino, and other family members. Just some mafia shit. Mays was held solely responsible for repaying the loan. In 2011, the bankruptcy court awarded the bank triple damages, leaving Mays liable for almost $800,000. The bank later sued all the partners in the Mecklenburg County Court. The Gambinos filed for bankruptcy in 2012. Guess the race of Crystal Gambino. Oh, they had the 911 call?
February 29th, 2016, 19 hours, 17 minutes, 27 seconds.
Gaston County 911-567, what's the address of your emergency? Alexis Lucia Road.
Alexis Lucia Road.
Alexis Lucia Road.
Alexis Lucia Road, what road does it run there?
What's it run off of? It's near Highway 27.
Okay. Okay, what's your name, sir? And what's the phone number you called me from? Tell me exactly what happened.
My sister-in-law has told her family that she killed her husband. She caught him sleeping with another woman, and she cleaned up the bullet casings and took care of the body. Now her sister is moderately crazy, so we don't know. But I have keys to the house, and if a deputy or officer wants to meet me at my house, I can give them the keys and let them in the house.
What's her name? Have you talked to anybody else?
He's snitching. All right, let's check the chat room, see what they think. Mob wife who put a hit out on her husband, Italiano. They were the worst guys. Did this occur on Telegraph Ave? She'll probably be locked up until 3005 white. Black Rob with the Childish Gambino songs. Baby on fire, better throw him in the burn pile, white. Gone girl, white. White woman whose husband clearly hated her. She had a he had a threesome at her house in her bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she walked in like Cisco and shit. Taking a place. Mozzarella
Been
cheese
in my bed.
someone kissing too many rings. White. The correct answer is white. I guess she came home early expecting his warm embrace, but something was wrong and it was written all over his face.
Yeah, written all over her face.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's one for one, really. But it's time to see what they can do in the bonus round when things start to heat up. Bum, 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 bum. Jeffrey David Santo, 43. Is accused of fatally stabbing another man who said he had a small penis.
Oh.
He's been found not guilty of manslaughter by a South Australian Supreme Court jury. He pleaded not guilty to manslaughter of Sean Green, 27. And who cares where? The jury heard that Mr. Green was stabbed in the head after getting angry that he had lost a pouch containing meth and cannabis. The two agreed to retrace the route and find the drugs that ended up at the Riddleton units. The court heard Mr. Green was searching the driveway in an increasingly agitated way when Santo told him he should not get angry at him for misplacing his own things. Santo told the court that Mr. Green became more agitated, took off his clothes, and proved that he did not have the drugs. Santo said he then stripped off all his clothes too. He told the court that he said Mr. Green that he did not have any drugs. I don't rip off mates. I'm old school. He said, I stood up, faced towards the road, and pulled down my pants and underwear. Santo said at that point he made what he said was a joke about the size of Mr. Green's penis. I said, I'm using the cold weather. What's your excuse? Santo told police that Mr. Green had a pocket knife and had approached him, and that the killing was in self-defense. I was near his face. I said to him, do you want to stab me? And then Sean snapped out of it. Well, I just did what most people would do. I just grabbed both his hands. Alarm bells are going. I thought I was gone. Someone coming at you with a knife. I just thought I was fucked. I was scared shitless, to tell you the truth. Santo told the court he found a pair of black-handled scissors in his car and that eventually he decided to protect himself by stabbing Mr. Green in the arm. He said in the panic and still fearing that Mr. Green might have been bluffing, when he fell to the ground, he picked up the scissors and the knife, got in the car and drove, and later throwing the scissors out of the car window. Santo was found by police a few days later sleeping in another car in the driveway of a vacant house.
Oh, okay.
Prosecutor Tim Preston said witnesses, including Mr. Green's girlfriend, would tell the court he was unarmed. He suggested there was no lawful excuse for Santos offending. The prosecution contends that the accused did not act in self-defense, and according to the stabbing of the deceased was both unlawful and dangerous. Prosecution also contends that the stabbing was disproportionate to the threat posed by the deceased and therefore unlawful. A jury deliberated for a little over an hour and a half before unanimously finding Santos not guilty of manslaughter. Guess the race of Mr. Jeffrey David Santos. The small penis bandit. See what they say in the chat room. Literal dick measuring contest that led to an assault instead of mutual respect. Pete Caucasity. Yeah, these guys should have both been running for Republican president.
Oh, they the one.
White man who bought a pack of knives to a sword fight. He was lacking down under Aussie White. Oh, that's good. Donald Trump supporter, what color were the socks he stuck in his pants while he was taking dick pics? White. Three-fourths of the Ghostbusters. Yeah, he was right, y'all. Y'all all got it right. Damn. Buddy killed his friend. Oh, with a small penis joke gone wrong.
Yes, he did. Oh.
People fragile about them penises, man. Shout out to everybody in podcast land that as soon as I said small penis was like, white! Y'all should be ashamed of y'allselves.
They all black men with big, black men, Lord. See, y'all being racist. Yeah. White men with big penises.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I know a lot of y'all racist is all I'm saying. All right, let's get out of here on some sword ratchetness. If I can, there we go. Now say I got a small penis. Samurai sword psycho cut down to size. A demented sicko convicted of brutally stabbing a mother of three in her trailer, then stealing her car, deliberately plowing it into three female runners, whilst will spend the rest of his life behind bars. Jason Anthony Warren, who committed the horrific crimes in 2012, used a samurai sword to gut the first victim, Dorothy Ulrich, at her Hooper, California home. During his getaway, he fatally struck Suzanne Seaman. Oh, that's an unfortunate last name. As she, it's spelled S-E-E-M-A-N-N, but you know, her childhood was fucked up.
Mm-hmm. She got all the jokes.
As she jogged with her friends, Terry Roman Little and Jessica Hunt, that one could be unfortunate, but I'm going to say Jessica Hunt, probably not as bad as Susie Seaman. Who were both severely injured but survived the nightmare assault. Dorothy, 47, was spotted with the tattooed creep worn the day before her death. Her sister-in-law Dorothy's body Dorothy's body had four deep wounds, one of which pierced her heart, as well as wounds to her shoulders and arms and chopping injuries to the head. There was also evidence of strangulation. Damn, this dude was crazy. He probably just hated women and shit and just finally got tired of listening to JL's podcast and said, I'm gonna do something about this shit.
I've had enough of you.
Among the ghastly evidence introduced in court were a shattered windshield spotted with dark brown stains and blood smears on the car's emergency brake handle. One of Susan's shoes was found in a field nearly 80 feet away from the point of impact where the vehicle struck her. Jessica's dog Maggie was found dead in a ditch. Damn, he killed the dog.
Everybody got some.
It was the Wicked Witch of the West.
He was like, if you breathing in this house, you're going to get some of this.
It was no wonder that after 7 grueling weeks, the jury found the monster psychopath guilty. It took him 7 weeks, nigga.
Right.
I would have been like, look, you guys want to pretend that we ain't here till lunch, or y'all just want to go get something to eat on our own?
Come on, dog.
Mr. Warren will never get out of prison, said Judge Timothy Cisna, confirming the killer's life sentence. Well, good for everybody involved. All right, guys, adamandeve.com, code TBGWT, getbevel.com, TBGWT free. And of course, Shadow Dog Productions. Don't forget, Saturday we're going to be live tweeting all my premium peoples, we're gonna be on there live tweeting 8 o'clock, and more details coming Wednesday. All right, until then, I feel like this is a good, healthy show about racism. This is the kind of show where we lose a lot of fans.
Oh yeah, some events happen. There's gonna be a lot of people that is definitely not gonna get into this show.
Yeah, don't write your angry emails in. Don't passively aggressively tag our show on Facebook talking about we hit or miss. Don't just leave it alone. We'll be back tomorrow talking about different shit if you didn't like this.
Right.
But I'll never support putting black people in a box because we black. All right, man. Go out and get your freedom. Own your masters. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.